Greetings, greetings, my dear and wonderful and beautiful sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear and wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is the Mind of God program. Emanating from thinkaboutit.org, and today's recording date is May the 1st, 2011, and on this Mind of God program, we endeavor to climb up out of the mind of the wicked ruling class and ruling families of this wicked world order. And as we do so, we endeavor to climb up into the mind of God, the mind of Christ. And as we do so, we will find ourselves organizing, coming together for freedom, justice, and equality. The kingdom of God in heaven, right here, right now, on this earth. And we are ready, willing, and able to ally ourselves with any organization, political, revolutionary, religious institution and organization that is of like mind. My beautiful sister Venice is our producer, helper, engineer, facilitator, coordinator of this website, thinkaboutit.org, and I am thankful unto the Most High for her hard work. You may contact me by emailing yallove@comcast.net. And let us now pause and give thanks and praises unto the Most High Creator and the Most High Creatress. All praise is due unto the Most High Father, the Almighty Creator. In the African Hebrew language, the Most High Father is known as Abba. In the African Arabic language, the Most High Father Creator is known as Allah. In Egypt, the Most High Father Creator is known as Amen, the hidden, an unseen father. In the tradition of the indigenous peoples of the Western Hemisphere, the Most High Father is known as the Great and the Grand Father. We also must give praises unto the Most High Mother, our beautiful and precious and wonderful Mother, the Holy Spirit, the Almighty Creatress. She, our mother, the Holy Spirit, is referred to in the book of Proverbs in the feminine and given the feminine title of wisdom. That word, wisdom, in the African Hebrew language is chokma, and it is a feminine word referring to a feminine entity, in this case, our mother, the Holy Spirit. In the Living Bible translation of St. Matthew chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20, we learn that she, our beautiful and wonderful precious mother, the Holy Spirit, conceived Jesus. Mother Holy Spirit is not only the mother of Jesus, but she is your and my and our mother as well. In the African Hebrew language, the name of our mother, the Holy Spirit, entitled are Ruach HaKadosh. And that word Ruach, found under the number 7307 on the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, that word Ruach is a feminine word referring to and denoting a feminine entity, in this case our mother, the Holy Spirit. In the African Arabic language, the name of our mother, the Holy Spirit, is Illa, spelled I-L-L-A-H. And our wonderful Islamic sisters and brothers say, Ashadu Illa Ilaha Il Allah. And you hear Illa, the mother, and you hear Allah, the father. And so it is translated traditionally, there is no God but God. But we know that Allah is the mother, Allah is the father. So it should be translated, there is none but our mother and our father. Because our mother, Allah, our father, Allah, have come together to give birth to the whole of creation, the universe, and the human family out of the spirit of love. In Egypt, Mother Holy Spirit is known as Amenet, the hidden and unseen mother. In the tradition of the indigenous peoples of the Western Hemisphere, Mother Holy Spirit is known as the Great and the Grand Mother. So I greet you, my sisters and brothers of the human family, the Uhuru family, in the name and title of our Lord and Savior, the African Hebrew Revolutionary Messiah, Jesus the Christ. In the African Hebrew language, his name and title are Yahshua HaMashiach. And believe it or not, sisters and brothers, but Christ has this day been revealed and manifested in the personality of His Imperial Majesty, Emperor Haile Selassie Rastafari of Ethiopia, the 225th king in the 3,000-year-old Solomonic dynasty. So we say, Emperor Haile Selassie Rastafari was crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, conquering lion of the tribe of Judah in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, November 2nd, 1930. So we say Jah Rastafari, Haile Selassie, as Jesus Christ, new names in these last days of judgment, in this time, in Babylon, which is America. America is Babylon. And this is to teach us that Christ desires to be revealed and manifested within your and my and our personalities, thereby making your, my, our names the new names of Jesus Christ, in fulfillment of the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12, which teaches us that Christ, in the last days of judgment in the United States of North America, which is that Babylon you read of, Christ would reveal and manifest in I and I. You and me, we are the I in Haile Selassie Jah Rastafari. All of us are divine manifestations of divinity, living in this divine creation, divine universe, in this divine physical realm, on this divine physical plane, in this divine, on this divine planet we call Earth, in this divine human vessel that we call the physical body. We are they who would rise up in the last days no matter your color, and rise up with the spirit and mind of Christ. And we would be the new names of Christ in this time and overturn the power of the wicked, overturn the power of the synagogue of Satan. This is the time that we are living in, the manifestation of Christ in the last days of judgment on this wicked, no good, rotten system. So, sisters and brothers, we are yet in the book of Revelation, but we are incorporating Ezekiel, and we're going to incorporate a Sunday school lesson we had today in Philippians. We want to, all, as we always do, begin by looking at some current affairs and issues, but look at these current affairs and issues with the mind of Christ. We're climbing up out of the mind of the wicked ruling class and families and taking on the mind of Christ Jesus. Now, revelation of Jesus Christ on the current affairs. Revelation, apocalyptos, apocalypse, all of this meaning to uncover the truth, remove the falsehood about this wicked system, so that we may properly understand this wicked system, and that we may properly understand how to overturn and overcome this wicked system, destroy this wicked system, and bring about the kingdom of God and heaven right here, right now on this earth. Freedom, justice, and equality for the whole of the human family. Now let us set this up by reading Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9. Jesus talking about the synagogue of Satan. Jesus talking about the last days, right, of this wicked system. Jesus understanding the plight of the masses of the oppressed, no matter your color. Jesus says, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. Now we have been narrowly looking at the black man and woman. But we start narrowly and then we go universal. For we are a universal people, and black is not nationalistic, but black is universal. It's the universal principle of birth, rebirth, and resurrection. We, the black man and woman, the true African Hebrew Israelite nation, are to wake up the human family, the masses, the oppressed, and give birth to the new kingdom. Give birth to the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now on this earth. Give birth to a new world. And so we are not only talking about ourselves. We are looking at the masses of the oppressed, no matter their color. Jesus is looking at the poor black, the poor brown, the poor white, the poor red, the poor yellow. And Jesus says, I know your works and your tribulation. We, as workers in this world, are working more hours than we ever worked, but we're making less wages than we've ever made internationally. Jesus knows our works and our tribulation, all the trials and tribulation that we, the oppressed, no matter your color, have been going through. But he says, and he knows our poverty. We are going to go into current affairs and understand that the synagogue of Satan has caused the poverty and impoverishment of the masses of the oppressed all over the earth internationally. Jesus says, I know your poverty, African. I know your poverty, so-called Middle Easterner or North East African. Jesus says, I know your poverty, Asian sister and brother. Jesus says, I know your poverty, sister and brother living in Central and South America, Mexico, the Isles of the Pacific and the Caribbean, in the Isles surrounding Africa and Asia, in the ghettos and barrios of Australia, New Zealand, North America, Canada, Europe, and Israel. People living in the ghettos and barrios, impoverished. Jesus knows your poverty. Jesus further says in verse 9 of chapter 2, but thou art rich. Why are you rich, oppressed people? You look in your pocket and you have nothing. But when we come together and overturn this wicked system and understand who we are, understand that all of us are children of the Most High. We are the Elohim, the gods and the goddesses, children of the Most High God and the Most High Goddess, the Most High Father and the Most High Mother, who is the Holy Spirit, is our mother. When we understand this knowledge, we become rich and wealthy beyond measure, and we become unable to rise up and understand that we will not take this no good rotten system anymore, and we will rise up and save the earth, give justice to Mother Earth, and give justice to the universe and the whole of creation, and the whole of creation will be at our feet. We will be rich and wealthy beyond measure, enjoying the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now on this earth. Jesus further says, "And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but they are the synagogue of Satan, the house of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the ruling class and ruling families of Israel, the imposter Israel, the fake Israel, the thief imposter Israel. These are who trace their heritage, claiming to be Jews, but are from Europe, from Russia, the Caucasus Mountains, the Khazars. These are they who have lied to us and claim to be the Jew of your Bible, and they are not. They are blasphemous. They are liars. They are the synagogue of Satan, and they, along with their Gentile sister and brother, ruling class, ruling families of the European community, have gone all over the earth and caused the poverty that we see. Now, sisters and brothers, the resurrection of Christ, the uprising of the masses of the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. The resurrection of Christ Jesus means redemption and salvation to the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed, no matter your color, ethnicity, race, or religion, or gender. The resurrection of Christ also means warning, judgment, and doom to the synagogue of Satan, the house of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the ruling class and ruling families of the United States of North America, Europe, and Israel. This is the true teaching of the resurrection of Christ Jesus, the resurrection of that spirit to deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed, the resurrection of deliverance, the resurrection of liberty, the resurrection of having access to all that is under the sun, land, wealth, resources, health, education, and so on. Now, this is May 1st. And May 1st is the original Labor Day. Many of us didn't know that. May 1st is the original Labor Day. Now, originally, late 1800s, early 1900s, going on through till about the 1950s. In general, this is a general time period. You had this time period of Workers International struggling for living wages, struggling for collective bargaining, struggling to overcome the wicked exploitation of the corporations. And Workers International, inside of the United States of North America and outside of the United States of North America, saw solidarity and unity amongst and with each other. And so, going into the early 1900s, you had the celebration of this International Labor Day on May 1st. But something interesting happened. It, along about the time of the 1950s, the ruling class and ruling families of America and Europe and Israel, and we're focusing on the United States of North America, began to say to workers in the United States of North America that you must separate from unity with workers outside of the United States of North America, and you must cease celebration of this International Labor Day, because and the reasoning given was that May 1st, May Day, is associated with socialism and communism, and you had McCarthyism coming up. using communism and socialism as philosophies to destroy people's lives, destroy people's careers. And so the United States of North America made her own Labor Day, I believe that's in September, but separated Labor Day in America from Labor Day internationally. Well, sisters and brothers, if you go to April 29th edition of Democracy Now, and let me pause right now and say this is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is May Day, May the 1st, 2011. So go to the April 29th edition of Democracy Now! And Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez interviewed a brother by the name of Clarence Thomas. Not that Clarence Thomas, but this Clarence Thomas is the International Longshoremen and Warehouse Union Local 10 representative. And they, that particular union, shut down the ports of Oakland and San Francisco on April 4th this year, 2011, in solidarity with the workers in Wisconsin. And you recall April 4th was commemorated not to celebrate the death of Dr. King, but to realize and remember that Dr. King was in Memphis to stand with workers, sanitation union workers, black men who were organizing for a living wage and dignity. So Dr. King, standing up with unions and standing up with workers. And I'm going to have more information on Dr. King and unions at a later time. But the International Longshoremen and Warehouse Union Local 10, in commemoration and unity with other workers on April 4th, shut down the ports of Oakland. And so this brother is talking about May Day and uniting with workers international. See, this awakening, this resurrection of Christ, and not only just workers, as we would say it, but immigrants as well. You will recall a few years ago, our immigrant sisters and brothers, primarily so-called Latino sisters and brothers, had a great work stoppage to show America how America would suffer if the so-called Latino sisters and brothers refused to pick fruit and food and whatnot, and refused to work in menial jobs in restaurants, and refused to work construction. Well, they did that action on May 1st a few years ago to reawaken the reality that May 1st was that International Labor Day, May Day, May 1st, and to unite immigrant sisters and brothers with workers inside of America, union or non-union, and in continue to unite with workers outside of the United States of North America. So today, May 1st, 2011, the AFL-CIO with other unions, and I'm a member of the UAW, and I pray to God that the UAW sent representation. And I will be very angry if the UAW did not send representation. And I am already angry because the leadership of the UAW do not communicate properly with their local leadership, and the local leadership does not communicate properly with the members of their locals. I'm a member of Local 76, and it's time that we communicate these protestations and coordinations and organizing. So today, May 1st, May Day, AFL-CIO, other unions, workers unionized, workers non-unionized, and immigrant sisters and brothers, along with international workers, magnifying and manifesting the mind of Christ, the mind of Jesus, and organizing for workers international. Now, sisters and brothers, moving on to Libya and Ivory Coast. This is so sad. The news is saying, and Huffington Post is saying, along with the news, that one of the sons, it says, Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi survived a NATO strike on Saturday night that killed his youngest son, Saif al-Arab, and three of his grandchildren, a Libyan spokesman said. If this is true, and we have been talking about this wicked action, you want to talk about words that are wicked and filthy and nasty and disgusting? You want to talk about words that are profane, profanity, to lie to the people of America and the world and say that America is entering with NATO, the United Nations, and AFRICOM, and France, and Canada, and Italy, and Britain, and invading Libya for humanitarian purposes. That is profane. That is true profanity. That is worse than what you call profanity, because it is an absolute lie. It is to overturn the government of Libya because they hate Gaddafi, because he has a track record with revolution and revolutionaries, and it is to take control of the land, the wealth, and the resources. Now, I was talking to one of my brothers at my job, and he is doing, I'm going to call him Brother E. His last name begins with E, and I love to have conversation with sisters and brothers because you learn so much from sisters and brothers. This brother has been doing some, he's a beautiful Caucasian brother. This Caucasian brother of mine has been doing some wonderful investigation. And we have been talking about the House of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers and the international bankers and central banks and corporations and the theft of land, wealth, and resources. And this brother E, my brother, began to investigate the central banks that are controlled by the Rothschilds, the House of Rothschilds, this synagogue of Satan that Jesus warned us about. And he began to investigate those nations that do not yet have central banks. And two nations that he named to me that did not yet have a central bank controlled by the House of Rothschilds. He named about five or six nations. But two of them were Iran and Libya. And I began to think with my brother. This is so interesting. I said, brother, you are doing some interesting investigation. And you are on to something, my brother. And I got an email. And you know they have been trying to coordinate an attack on Iran for the longest time through various ways and methods and means. But I got an email from The Final Call, the newspaper of the Nation of Islam, under the leadership of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And this article, emailed to me by the Nation of Islam, is titled, 10 Reasons Why the United States War in Libya is a CIA Operation. Now, point number 6B tells us, or is entitled, New Oil Infrastructure Already in Place. And it says, only days after the spontaneous protests, the rebels, who were mostly seen in grainy cell phone videos, chanting slogans and waving banners, had organized themselves into a sophisticated corporate entity and announced their formation and launching of the Libyan oil company to supervise all production for all of Libya. Not just Benghazi, but all of Libya. Okay? This goes to the reality that it's about the oil, it's about the land, the wealth, and the resources. Gaddafi had nationalized his oil. And that was another point that my brother E brought up, that many of these nations have nationalized their resources, meaning the people have ownership in the resources and they're not being exploited out of their mind by these wicked forces. So now, the United States, along with the European powers that we named earlier, excuse me, have already set up an oil corporation called Libyan Oil Company. Now get this, along with that, they have created the Central Bank of Benghazi as a monetary authority. My brother E, I love you and I thank you for your investigation. Your investigation is now confirmed. They have set up a central bank in Libya. And what comes with a central bank? The IMF, International Monetary Fund, comes. The World Bank Organization comes. The World Trade Organization comes. These wicked institutions, under the power of the House of Rothschilds, begin to institute loans to the nation that has allowed them power. And these loans are not for the masses, are not for the oppressed. These loans finance projects that are for the elites in that nation, not for the people. And with these loans and projects for the elites come debt that is slavery. And then under this new debt acquired because of all of this wickedness allowed in your nation, you are told by the House of Rothschilds, through the central bank, through the IMF, WBO, World Trade Organization, WTO, you're told to institute austerity measures and programs to pay this wicked, immoral debt. Because you will never have enough money and wealth to pay off the debt, because your wealth is in the control of the House of Rothschilds, and you're not able to pay off this debt, which is slavery. And then they tell you, the House of Rothschilds, the central bank, tell you you can't investigate, invest. You can't invest in education. You can't invest in healthcare. You can't invest in employment. They tell you to cut education, healthcare, and employment. The same things that are going on in the United States of North America by the same wicked ones, synagogue of Satan, House of Rothschilds. That's what is awaiting Libya if this action continues to go as it is appearing to go. So I thank you, my brother E, for doing wonderful investigation. And we certainly are going to continue to do wonderful investigation and talk to each other together. Moving on to Ivory Coast. And we are continuing to investigate the real reasons for bloodshed and warfare that is uncalled for. Before I forget, they have continued to say Muammar Gaddafi is slaughtering his people willy-nilly. He's fighting the CIA, and we don't want no bloodshed. But the CIA is in his country and have raised up Al-Qaeda as a CIA force against him. But if Libya is so dangerous, it turns out that the reporters are reporting from Tripoli. I was looking at CNN, and one of their reporters were reporting from Tripoli. How unsafe is it if you can report from Tripoli? These are just things to think about. Go get the 10 reasons why the war in Libya is a CIA operation from thefinalcall.com. Moving on to Ivory Coast. Real reasons for this invasion by France and the United Nations, backed by the European powers, including the United States of North America and Israel. Now, go to the April 25th edition of the Taylor Report. And George Soberon, I believe that's the pronunciation of his name. I'll have his name in my summary page. Talks to Phil Taylor and the co-host by the name of Phil as well. They discuss some of the real reasons for the invasion of the Ivory Coast. Bloodshed and warfare going on in the Ivory Coast. You are looking at an attack on Africa for the purposes of land, wealth, resources, establishing of central banks, and also because, you see, Christ is manifesting in the world today. God is coming out of hiding and manifesting through the Christ consciousness and mentality of the people in the world who are sick of the systems and sick of this system and are sick of the synagogue of Satan and are sick and tired of these elites all over the earth ruling on behalf of the synagogue of Satan and are rising up all over the earth. In Africa, there are risings and uprisings of the sisters and brothers all over Africa, not just Northeast Africa, Libya, Tunisia, Egypt, but also in the interior of Africa. Unrest going on in Uganda. Unrest going on in, I believe, Zimbabwe as well. Unrest going on all over Africa as well. In the United States of North America, in Central and South America, in all over the earth, sisters and brothers are rising up. And so we see this focus on Africa because there is so much land, wealth, and resources in Africa that they want to make sure that they stave off these uprisings and cut these uprisings and deflate these uprisings to keep control of the land, the wealth, and the resources. So in Ivory Coast, you heard about the battle between Gbagbo and Ouattara, and France chose Ouattara over Gbagbo. But why was Ouattara chosen? It turns out that Ouattara, the man chosen by France, and the United Nations is so sick. Ban Ki-moon, you are sick. You are a tool for these wicked powers. And it is so wicked and sick that you would let the United Nations kill on behalf of France. This is so sick and wicked. But the synagogue of Satan, you are destroyed, and we are looking at your destruction, and we are rising up. But why did France and the United Nations choose Ouattara? Ouattara is associated with the chocolate transnational corporations. You see, the great mineral in Ivory Coast that is coveted, and idolatry is covetousness. So France and the United Nations and the powers of Europe and the United States of North America are covetous and idolatrous. That mineral in Ivory Coast coveted is the cocoa, which makes the chocolate. And so Ouattara is associated with the chocolate transnational corporations. It turns out that Ouattara's, and go to Wikipedia, www.wikipedia.com, and do the research. Ouattara has a stepson. A stepson. And this stepson's name is a French name, so I may not be pronouncing it correctly. But his name is Loïc Folaro. I'll have this in my summary page. Loïc Folaro. Loïc Folaro is the African director of Armajaro, Armajaro Holdings. Okay? And Armajaro Holdings is owned by Anthony Ward. And we're going to go ahead and take our first break, and I will see you and continue this on the other side of the break.